This is the fourth day of the March 2015 7-day retreat in Springwater. Spring and water. Have some of both. Beautiful sunlight streaming through the windows. Warmth. And this awakening world, waking up. Squirrels that are usually so athletic. I was sitting at breakfast this morning, looking out the window, and even the squirrel was having trouble navigating in the snow, slipping, sliding, pausing. In the wet, slippery snow. I wonder at this point if there's any of us who haven't, at least partially, fallen, slipped on the ice. To all appearances, we've all gotten up again. It's amazing to sit. Listen to be here. To be part of this waking up, this coming to life, this opening, freshening. Or are we convinced on some level that we're apart, that we're the detached observer? That we're these thoughts, these descriptions of myself, of my story, my history. I'm wondering, and I'm fairly certain for all of us that there are moments in the quiet of retreat or in the bustle of everyday life when the barriers break down, when we're surprised by life, being, which nobody has cornered the market on, which no one possesses, It flows. It freezes and melts. Stops, starts. On its own. Snow giving way, disappearing, the water dripping down the edges of the building, down the hillside, blocked somewhere, creeks, lakes forming, a road turning to mud that is mud. All on its own. And yet we somehow think much of the time that we're apart from this. That there's the world and there's something called me. For some reason, staying in the small space, perhaps for a sense of security, of this meanness, and ignoring the vastness, the emptiness, the beauty, and the ugliness. We don't have to choose. What awareness takes in, we can't. But we think we can. We think we can order this world through thought. Perhaps before I wander further and further off, I'd like to come to a question, not a question, an observation from one of the groups that stayed here. We may have revisited it a little bit yesterday, but it was more of an observation that this person felt in coming to retreat. Maybe it was not directly related to coming to retreat. It's hard to remember things exactly, so I'll do the best I can. Noticing that in his life, there's a great sadness, sorrow, around the way people treat each other. And came up this morning and looking at this, that there was a qualifier. That somehow it wasn't so powerful an emotion when it was a case of a natural disaster, people losing their lives or suffering because of a hurricane or tsunami, earthquake. But this capacity of humans to inflict cruelty, to punish, to be just petty and mean, I'm improvising, but it's our daily news. Perhaps the news of the ages. People always think that they're living in the worst era. But it's from time immemorial. It also came up that maybe this distinction between a natural disaster and a human-caused disaster is not so sharp a line. Maybe we are, at times, a disaster. In our confusion, our gullibility, and our endless search to be reinforced and secured by various kinds of ideologies, theologies, by charismatic leaders, by the various isms or simply through our own indifference, our indifference to each other. But it also occurs it's been seen here, and others have expressed this, that there's a division, real or imagined, within. There's a cruelty, a lack of kindness. In the way we talk to ourselves, describe ourselves, describe ourselves to each other. And these lines become blurred too. This inner monologue, dialogue, threnody, this chorus of voices. You're not good enough, you're not worthy of love, you're not this or that, accomplished, successful, or you're just not good enough. Even in this work of meditation, it's not unusual to hear someone say, I'm terrible because I can't attain this awakening or this peace or this self-sufficiency, this ability to stand on my own two feet. Whatever it is I've set out to accomplish. I just have a memory coming up from 12-step work, where people would grumble, "I got to get me some of that serenity." I hear people talk about it. How do I get it? This sorrow, remember the Japanese poet Ryokan, one line from one of his poems, that despite himself, when he thought of people in their lives of suffering and conflict, his pillow, I can't remember if it was his pillow or his sleeve under his head, wet with tears. And maybe sometimes we cry for ourselves as well, in frustration. In not being or seeming to be or presenting what we feel we should be. For not getting what we feel we need or deserve. Living a life in conflict. Apart. Or at least believing that I'm apart. Not a part of, but separate. Unique. And in a sense, separate from this world. Not just of suffering and sorrow, but of sunshine, of snow and water, is that possibly there's a little conflict here. I was going to say part of the problem, but is that the whole of the problem, the so-called problem of this world? This tendency to fragment, to divide, that may have been useful at some point in evolution, in the development of the organism, the brain body, that's so quick and so clever and so infinitely busy, sorting, separating, good and bad people, people that believe the way I do, that think the way I do, and those that don't, the good and bad parts of me, as if there's, what? A pile of pieces, of jigsaw pieces, sitting here, waiting to be correctly assembled. It sounds a little facetious, but it's the world that thought creates. The world of separation and of the creation of enemies. People that have to be subdued because they're not worthy. They're not up to our level. So we can take their land, expand our own country, and then forget that we did that and condemn it when another people do that. I talked to someone in Paris shortly after the shootings this fall of a cartoonist's office, of the people there, and of a grocery, a small shop, and of the people there. And the person I was talking with was reporting them. That the flames of hatred already ignited, expressed, towards Islam, Muslims, Arabs, Algerians, to those people, as long as this cause and effect cycle is turning, churning, running, the sense is there's no end to it, and the cruelties will multiply. And I don't think we can sit back and say, I'm not part of this. If there's really a careful, open, honest being with thoughts, emotions, it's possible to see the roots of this right here. The looking for blame, looking for someone to blame. The first reaction when something goes wrong. The need to put myself up and others down, so I can feel better about myself. I'm part of the group that's peaceful. Remember, that was at the Zen Center. Buddhism was superior because there never had been any war fought in the name of Buddhism. Well, that's changed since then. And maybe it wasn't true even then. We can pick up a flag, put on a t-shirt for any cause. And become, for a moment, subsumed, free of some of the self-doubt as I fight for this cause, as I justify cruelty or indifference. Sometimes I think that's the greatest cruelty, is indifference, cultivated, the cutting off of each other. Giving up. giving up on ourselves, on each other. I'm hopeless. You're hopeless. You're stuck, you're mired, I'm stuck. And yet, after a month of the coldest weather imaginable, of snow and ice, somehow there's a melting. And maybe coming to retreat, one discovers sitting on the balcony in an easy chair or on a cushion or chopping vegetables or cleaning a toilet or not doing anything, that somehow, despite all of my efforts, because of or in spite of my techniques and practices, my years of work, the thought quiets itself, takes a break, that there's an opening. That there's silence and vast, vast space. That there's an innocence. That body, the brain, the body-brain feels fresh, new. The image came to mind this morning of a dog coming out of the water. And of course, the first thing it does is it shakes itself all over. And the water flies in an arc. If you're not in the path of it, it has an amazing beauty. Maybe even if you're in the path of it. You laugh and shake it off yourself. Feeling is that we human beings are stuck, glued to our opinions, ideas about ourselves, our history, and the possibility is that none of this has the least substance. It does feel that way at times. But is it true? And is that a possible question? Is it true? When I'm right in the midst of it, so stuck, so is it true? I remember once Susan asking me that when I was in the midst of feeling sorry for myself, telling my tale of woe. She asked me, but is that true? And I don't think she was attempting to ask any technique or trying to. I think it just occurred to her in that moment, is it true? And it just hit me like, and say like a ton of bricks, but it wasn't that quality. Much, much lighter. It wasn't true. But the repetition, repeating the, oh, they did this, blah, blah, blah. Shoulders slumping, chest caving in, made it true. In that theater world, the little cinema house, the dark cinema on a sunny day, going for a matinee horror show, and then stepping out, into the fresh air, the bustle of the street or the quiet, everything lit up. Discovering that this myth, this supposition, or this cherished belief that I'm apart, that I'm separate, that I'm not the world, it's just a fantasy. A very potent fantasy to fuel, that fuels, that makes it possible for us to hate ourselves and each other. In this fragmented world, where we can substitute a story or an image for what's right in front of us. So that we can arm ourselves try to predict our reactions to who we're going to meet, person we have to call this afternoon, or email, or the email we have to respond to. To the boss we'll deal with when we get back to work, the colleagues, the family, the lack of family. It's an amazing capacity to create these rungs and rungs of hell. And in a moment of waking up to shake oneself and let it spray off. To not know these so-called others. If there is this miraculous, wondrous quieting, the story making abates, quiets, then there's an infinite possibility of surprise, of fresh meeting, a new world that is myself, that that functions and misfunctions. But that's not separate. Perhaps we'll end the talking here.